Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday, Dolly.
It's always on a Sunday with
Ten and Low. Because I've gotten to work over the years, I just don't like 275.
Okay, oh, so we're going to take back almost all. Oh, so here we are on a beautiful, beautiful Sunday, Denbo. Look, there's a guy in his shorts.
Yeah, and that's something. On the 5th of March.
We have all this snow, although a lot of it has melted in the last 24 hours. But we're seeing lots of trees down. There's DTE doing work and a tree guy.
Yeah.
He's doing some work.
And I see dead limbs up in this tree, too. Yeah. So I think that came from the neighbor's trees.
Yep. Lots of stuff. There's our neighbor Tina and her dog, Bella.
Yeah,
it's... Oh, look, there's something ripped off of that tree.
Yeah.
Look at all the debris they have down here.
Yep.
Oh, wow, they lost a ton. Look at all that.
I know.
Wow, even on their pine tree they lost stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, I love how they put out a ton of bird feeders. That makes me happy. Wow.
Well, there's lots of damage from the secondary snowstorm that we've had on Thursday, and thank goodness, or Thursday and Friday, it was overnight, and I'm just grateful that we didn't have to travel around a lot in it.
Well, and we, fortunately, unlike some of our neighbors, we've got power.
Yeah, that's the worst part. I can't imagine what it would be like. The lady at McDonald's said that her neighbor that lived in the house behind her had her her power out for a full week. And, you know, this is during cold weather. I can't imagine that.
With the ice storm last week and then this week this.
Yeah, and there's another big branch.
Yeah. Wow. Yes, our heart goes out to people that don't have power right now. So we have to pray that the utility companies can get them turned back on.
Yeah, so it's wild to see the smaller branches, and it's also wild to see the trees that had like a major part of the trunk ripped off.
Yeah.
Just split right off like it was made out of paper mache.
You know what's not too surprising though when you think about these trees, like when we look at these limbs that are down, like a lot of them have like a hole in the center, so it makes me think that a lot of these bigger trees in Plymouth are diseased to some extent. Look at that down there. There's a bunch.
Well, I'm not sure that a hollowness in a tree is from a disease. I never really understood what causes that, but it does definitely weaken the tree.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's see. You weren't feeling well for a few weeks, so we haven't done a show like this in a while.
Well, yeah, there was a point where we thought maybe I had COVID, and with testing, fortunately, it turned out to be something like a cold. And then last weekend, you were gone.
Yeah, I went to South Bend.
And so, couldn't do it last weekend, because we got to be together to do the show, so.
We have to be in the same vehicle to do the show.
Yeah, or in the studio together.
In the studio, yeah. That's so funny. It could be a studio on wheels.
This is our portable studio.
It is fun to do shows from the truck.
I think
for
I'm
sure.
Go surface streets.
Okay.
I think I said I was going to, and then habitually I started to get on the expressway to go to Ann Arbor.
Oh, well, it's not the worst place we could end up.
No, we could end up in Ann Arbor and say, so what are we going to do here? And we could say, we could go to Zingerman's.
You know what I saw posted this morning from one of our favorite restaurants, the Project Dixborough or the Dixborough House?
No, what was posted?
They posted a close-up shot of their chocolate croissant.
Oh.
That was prepared overnight and fresh.
Now, I don't remember their chocolate croissant. Was that got chocolate on the outside or the inside or both?
Chocolate on the inside. And we had it the time we went there with Debbie for brunch. I got the chocolate croissant. I think you got, I don't think you got a pastry. Or no, or did you?
I don't remember. All I remember is the food there was fabulous. And the most unusual omelet I've ever had was fabulous.
You know, I noticed that your nephew Christian is up north this weekend visiting his friend whose in-laws own the Walloon Lake Brewery.
Oh.
And I went to see the website for the Walloon Lake Brewery, and then I was looking at the people that own it and stuff, and one of their sayings is only put good things in your body or something like that, or something, only put good things in your tummy or something like that.
Okay.
And I thought, well, that's our mantra too.
Yeah, well, we're sort of vegan in a way that we only eat animals that are vegan.
We do? I guess we are vegan if we eat animals that are only vegan.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's true. We don't eat animals that eat other animals. No. Although maybe with fish. Fish eat other fish.
Yeah, but they're not really animals. They're just fish.
On Monday night last week, I had dinner with a friend of mine who's a pescatarian. And we went to Andiamo in Bloomfield, and it was excellent. We both had their whitefish, the way they prepare it there.
I remember you talking about got home.
Now, you know, I'm so used to having whitefish up north, obviously. But I did have it. I thought, well, okay, if it's no good, I won't order it again, you know. But I have to say, the way they prepared it with a very light breadcrumb that had Italian seasonings in it, oh my God, it was so damn good. We'll have to go back there sometime and try it.
Well, speaking of whitefish, it reminds me that I just downloaded from the DNR website, the treaty with the Aboriginal tribes that involves the federal government and the states around the Great Lakes and the provinces of Canada.
Yeah.
And it really was fascinating about how the sovereign nations are coming together to agree on how to manage the fisheries in the Great Lakes. It's kind of amazing. And I know that one of the things that we enjoy the most are the perch harvests and the whitefish harvests.
Yeah, and I love going to visit a fishery. Like, I'm sure there's one down here, you know, in the lower part of the state. But the one I've been to the most is up near Petoskey in Odin.
Yeah, that one is kind of a benchmark. Having been to the one in Grayling as a kid, it was not nearly as impressive as the one in Odin. And of course my dad introduced me to that for the first time, and to both of them for the first time.
Oh, I know. Your dad introduced us to a lot of cool things up north, didn't he?
Yeah, Dad was always interested in stuff going on in the community, and you know, whether it was fishing or farming or whatever the natural wonders were, he was into it.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Great Lakes fish, I do like perch. And you know who has a good perch that's near us? Is that Rockies on 7 Mile in Northville.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of boycotting them.
You are?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, their food's good, but partway through the pandemic, they decided that the only way they do carry out would be if you came in and ordered at the bar.
Oh, you mean you couldn't call up and order anymore?
Right. At the early part of the pandemic, you would call up, order, and they'd bring it out to your car, which, you know, was a way to stay in business, and we helped them stay in business a lot.
A lot in the beginning.
For the first year
and
a half. Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure we did.
And then all of a sudden they said, no, you got to come in to order. We don't do carry out unless you come in and sit at the bar. And I said, yeah, that's just followed up. I didn't really say that word. I said a naughty word, but
well, I know, but not to them. But I will.
No.
But I have a theory around that, and I think it goes back to when you have people doing online orders, and then you have people in the restaurant. I think that the system, meaning the holistic system of the system, the technology, the workers, the food, the supply chain, everything that goes on for them to deliver that meal, gets overburdened, and they don't maybe have enough sophistication to be able to say, well, we only have 24 perch dinners tonight, or we only have 36 short rib dinners or whatever. And whether you order them in person or if you order them online, it's, you know, that's it.
They've got as many as they've got. Well, they make a choice of their business model. They decide what their system is, and their system was adaptive enough to adapt to the pandemic and to switch from only dine in to carry out.
But not both at the same time. Remember, in the beginning, it was no dining in.
Yes.
And then they had to go to 25% capacity in, so they still had capacity.
They didn't have to, but they could.
Well, but then they could, and I don't think they ever had an online system where you could order. I think you still had to call up. So they were a little bit old-fashioned, which is fine.
Yeah.
But that's how they controlled everything. But then when they went to full-on, everybody can come in person, then they can't take on the extra burden of all those carry-out orders.
Well, and that's where a lot of people get twisted, and my twisting is that the pandemic isn't technically over.
That's right.
And so they switched their business method, and I switched where I got my food for carryout.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of business choice for them and a business choice for their customers.
I don't know if it's worth boycotting if you like the way they prepare their fish.
When the pandemic is officially declared over and my darling wife is happy with going out, then I will go back to them.
Well, I
only, their perch were good.
Well, the truth is I only go in person to certain places. Like, I've got this criteria in my head that they have to have, like, massive ceilings.
Yeah.
Like, super tall height ceilings. Like, obviously, the Dixboro House at the Dixboro Project has that. If you go into the modern, new part, not the old part. And then, like, Fleming's restaurant. I mean, how tall do you think their ceilings are in there?
25 feet? I don't even remember being in Fleming's,
honestly. We went there for Thanksgiving.
I know, but I don't remember their ceilings.
Oh, their ceilings are way up. You know what I mean? And I just think anything that's going to have those huge ceilings is going to be better airflow.
Well, it gives the COVID virus a chance to really accelerate before it hits your nostrils.
Well, to get the hell out of my way is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it is fish season, in a sense. It's Lent, and now, you know, our parish has started the fish fries, and you know this, in 2020.
Yes, early 2020.
Early 2020, we went to the fish fry at the Knights of Columbus in Livonia, which has the most, I think, one of the better fish fries.
Excellent.
Because they do baked and they do fried, and then they just, I don't know what it is about the way their facility is set up. I just have always liked to go there, even when we were, you know, when I was living in other places, not with you. But I love to go around to different churches, fish fries, and different organizations, Friday fish fries. And we miss the one at our parish on Friday. And I'm just thinking, you know, at some point, you know, I know we can do carry out for a fish fry.
Yeah.
But it's just not the same, because by the time you get it home,
it's not cold. Quite as hot.
Yeah. It's, yeah. And so I don't know. I really want to go.
I love fish fries, and it's even been tempting. I was thinking about that commercial on TV for, what's the ice cream place? Hamburger and ice cream place? Culver's.
Yeah.
Advertising their fish.
They have a great fish.
They do have a good fish fry.
Their fish and chips is good.
Yes. So, you know, we just...
And so is their shrimp dinner.
We just have to be grateful that we're alive and taking nourishment from whatever means we can. And when we feel like we're comfortable enough, we'll go to these other places. We see that.
You see those two hornets nests up
there? Yeah.
We're driving right by Mayberry State Park.
Yeah.
And up in the tree is two medium-sized hornet's nests. They're quite close to each other.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, I think technically they're wasp nests.
All right, well, whatever.
I'm not sure I know exactly what the difference in between wasps and hornets. But hornets, I always had the notion that they came from a hole in the ground.
Oh, maybe.
And wasps were airborne from those bee-bit pieces of paper that they made their nests out of.
It could be. I don't know. Well, I think there's wasps. Yeah, I think they are flying. And I do think I've seen something that goes in the ground, like those bee killers, those big bee killers. Those are some type of a hornet, right?
I don't know.
And they dig a big hole in the ground.
Yeah, they do.
Because we've had them in our yard before. But then there's a bird that likes to eat those. So then, you know, obviously that's the circle of life.
Well, yes, the birds that eat the bugs have to live.
Yeah.
And the birds that eat the birds have to live.
And then the hawk is getting all the birds in our neighborhood. I've been watching that darn hawk.
I've been looking at him like a hawk.
Well, I have been watching him like a hawk. I've been watching the hawk like a hawk because the hawk is getting the birds. And what's interesting to me is how much I've been able to see the hawk this winter. And see him in the real tall trees looking around. I saw him yesterday afternoon, actually. But he was, like, over on the next block. But because of the height of the tree, I could see him out our kitchen window. So, yeah, I'm definitely keeping an eye on the hawk.
Well, and we have had the cardinals reappear in our neighborhood. And we're grateful for that because they just have such a melodic song. And they have, to me, a beautiful appearance.
Yeah.
And a couple of times I've gone out the back steps and seen in the neighbor's shrubs up against their house that there's a male or a female cardinal in there. So
I think it's interesting that they don't fly away because you are literally within 6 feet of them.
Yeah.
And they don't, it doesn't fly away. And I'm wondering if it thinks it isn't seen.
It could be. Remember that bird store we went to where there was that shrub out in front of the door.
Yeah.
And it was covered with birds.
Yeah.
There are no leaves on it. It was like the birds were the leaves. It was so dense with birds.
Yeah, and it was later in the evening and they were like bedding down for the night. And the owner of the bird store was pretty much convinced that they don't think that they can be seen.
Yeah.
So
it's crazy.
It is kind of crazy.
Well, animals have a view of the world that we don't see, and
that's true. I can't get over this weather that we're having. It's 47 degrees, blue skies.
And it's Michelangelo clouds in the sky.
We got some clouds that are wispy. They're not like huge or anything. They're more like wispy little marshmallow type clouds.
Yeah.
They are kind of cool, though.
Oh, yeah. They're quite cool.
So, you know, we're embarking on one of my favorite times of year.
Yeah.
The month of March.
Well, sure, because it's your birthday month, and we try to celebrate it all month.
Well, it's not only that, but, you know, the last day of winter is approaching. The first day of spring is upon us. And March is just always, like, it's such a huge turning point.
It is.
And I've noticed that our tulips are up, and those little bluebells that are some type of a tuber plant perennial, those are up on the west side of the house. And, you know, last year for Easter, my sister Marge got us a calla lily, and I was going to plant it outside until I read up on it, and then I just decided in the fall to let it go dormant as if it was outdoors.
Yeah.
And I soaked it with water one last time, like in October. Let it go dormant. And lo and behold, yesterday I noticed that this fresh greenery, these fresh green leaves now are popping up from the bulbs. So I gave it some water yesterday, and then I won't water it again for a week. But it's kind of cool that calla lily's coming back.
Yeah. Maybe it's the additional sunlight every day.
Possibly.
You know, the days are getting longer and...
Yeah, and it's in a western window, so possibly, yeah. So anyways, I just love spring. I enjoy the snow, of course. But I also like the sunny days, the longer days, and I'm loving this combination of sunshine and snow today.
Yeah, I am too. It's, in fact, one of my favorite visions of winter beauty is to have lots of snow on the ground and lots of blue sky.
And the longer days, it just makes such a huge difference.
Yeah.
So I'll be happy for the next 3 months. And then when the summer solstice comes, the summer solstice, I'll start to get sad again because the days start to get shorter.
Well, so does this mean that you have that seasonal affective disorder?
No, I don't have that. I don't have seasonal affective disorder. I just don't like the idea of the days getting shorter. Like, I'm on a high right now because mentally, intellectually, I know that the days are getting longer, 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 longer since December 21st. And we're coming up to the longest days of the year over the next 90 days. And then the days start to get shorter again. And it's just such a weird dude. God, those cops are practically in that vehicle. That lady, did you see? She looked like she might need some help.
Well, maybe that's why they're in the vehicle.
It looks like maybe her husband's standing there, and then the police officer's looking in on the passenger side. So I wonder if somebody's having maybe that lady's passenger is having a problem. I don't know.
Maybe.
Who knows? But anyway.
Well, I think of this as just the cycle. I'm old enough now where I get very philosophical about these things. Don't get sad for it. I know I have a certain number of springs in my life, and I hope this isn't the last one, but I know that spring is followed by summer, is followed by fall, is followed by winter, etc., and so I just am an observer of the changing cycles and try to adapt my activities to it. So,
yeah. You know, well, that's all you can do is live.
It's kind of fun to see the animals go through their cycles. You know, the birds flying south, flying north. The deer getting into their winter habits and getting into their fall habits and their summer habits. You know, every month has a little something different about it. And if we just pay attention to it, we can really enjoy what a wonderful creation we've got in front of us.
That's true. You know, one of the longest months of the year is March. March, yes. And October have the most days as far as working days. And like my schedule, in every March. March always has 22 working days. 20 to more than most months have 20 working days or lots of things. Well, February. March and October have 22 working days, Monday through Fridays.
There's more than just 2 months, though, that have 31 days.
What?
There's more than 2 months that have.
I know, but I'm just saying working days, the way the working days work.
The way the working days work shifts from the calendar year to the calendar year.
Right, but the way the calendar works with February only having 28 days, it makes March and October have the most working days. And the least amount of holidays. So when you look at other months, so I'm talking about working days. January has a holiday. February has a holiday, a bank holiday. March has no holidays unless it's Easter. April has Easter majority. May has Memorial Day. June doesn't really have any holidays, but people take vacation time because it's butted up against July 4th. Then you've got July. Then you've got people taking their vacations in August. September has Labor Day. October literally has no holidays, unless you're Canadian, and then they've got Thanksgiving. And then November, we've got Thanksgiving, and December, we have Christmas. So the most days that people work is March and October. So that's why I have to take a week off next week.
Well,
because March has no freaking holidays.
If that works for you, I'm happy for you. And I'm especially happy, too, that you don't feel compelled that I have to be taking this time off with you. Because the first half of it, you're doing something special with your niece and your goddaughter.
Yeah.
Your goddaughter and your goddaughter.
My goddaughter and my great-niece.
There you go. I'll get
my
right,
niece and my great-niece. And, yeah.
And then
I'm going to do something special later in the week with my sister and my cousin.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's... So you're happy you don't have to go on... Because it's two girls' trips backed up to each other. But, you know, one's a Sunday to Tuesday, the next one's a Thursday to Sunday. So I would never invite you. Can I just be totally freaking honest? I would never invite you on a girls' trip.
And I would never invite you on a guy's trip. But you're always welcome to drop in on my... wherever I'm at, whatever I'm doing.
Well, you could drop in on me, too. That would be totally fine. It wouldn't bother me at all.
Okay, well, it's now officially on record.
that you can drop in on me.
Yes.
You did drop in on one of my girls' trips one time. I think the first one I ever went on.
Yes.
Or maybe it was the second one I went on. Way, way back, like when we first met back in 2005. I think you did drop by. We ended up, a couple of girls and I ended up going to Somerset, and we stayed at the Somerset Inn next to Somerset Mall.
I don't remember.
And on that Sunday,
must have been your previous boyfriend.
No, on that Sunday, I'll tell the story. On that Sunday, you were driving home. Actually, it was 2006. It wasn't 2005, it was 2006. And it was November 11th. It was hunting season. And we went to the Somerset Inn. We shopped at Somerset Mall, me and the girls. And then on Sunday, you came to meet me there. And you and I went shopping at Nordstrom, and you bought me that fur coat. So that was the November of 2006.
Boy, that was early.
We had already been dating each other for over a year because we met in June of 2005.
Right.
So you really liked me.
I still do.
But yeah, you took me after I went on the girls' shopping trip. Then you took me on a shopping trip that afternoon.
I took you, all right.
Because we had to check out of the hotel at 11 or whatever, and then you and I, then we met, and then, yeah, I remember that. So, yeah,
well,
that was
I don't
good
remember
times.
The hotel, because I think I wasn't there.
You didn't stay at the hotel. We had to, we had to check out of the hotel.
Right.
We had two rooms. We checked out at 11, and then you said, what time do you guys check out? I'll meet you. And so after I said goodbye to my girlfriends, you and I went over to the mall together, and we shopped. Yeah,
and
I'll never forget
that. And I
think
the one where I dropped in on you at a hotel was in Frankenmuth. I sort of remember some hotel on the west side of Main Street. Fairly
that would have
close
been Spring. That was Springfield's. What is it? Springfield or Spring
I
Hill Suites? When we went to Frankenmuth, we've gone to Frankenmuth because of the outlet malls and everything. We've gone multiple times. Look at this person's trying to turn left, honey, and they can't get in.
I thought the traffic was moving ahead.
Traffic
I can't
is not moving. Like, what is? Why are we bumper to bumper on this?
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Grand River Avenue.
There must be something, some special event, because this is pretty packed.
Well, then we need to get out of this lane. Maybe they.
Oh,
I bet you it's the cottage show. Yeah, but after Suburban, we need to get in the left lane to get to Wixom Road. These people are all going into Suburban.
The next right turn is Wixom Road.
Did we pass Suburban already?
I thought we did, but I don't know.
Maybe Suburban is after Wixom Road. Oh, I think it is. Yeah, something's going on because either the power's out.
Maybe this is Oh, maybe.
Because Novi had a lot of power outages.
Or maybe this is everybody leaving Suburban and they're all headed this way.
No, Suburban is on the other side of Wixom Road.
No.
Other side of Novi Road. No, we have to go Novi Road, then Wixom.
Lois.
Or is Novi behind us?
Novi's behind us.
Oh,
Beck
okay.
Is behind us. This is Wixom Road.
It's blazing ass hot in our car right
it's
now, Dennis. Oh, my God. I
got to
open up the window. I can't stand it. Yeah, I think there must be a power outage up here.
It might very well be.
I'm just seeing all red taillights. Oh, my God. Honey, you're practically driving up on those people's ass. Like, leave a little bit of room. You know, my dad was a driver's ed instructor in college. And one of the things that he taught people was to make sure you can always see the car in front of you. Make sure you can always see their tires on the pavement.
Yes.
And then you know you're far enough back, especially when you come to a stop.
I know, Lois.
I know. I remind you of that story all the time.
As if I wasn't also a driver's training instructor. I mean, it's just like...
Isn't that funny how my dad was a driver's ed instructor and you're a driver's ed instructor?
I was.
Isn't
I had to be
funny?
Certified to do it. And I've written driver's education courses.
And it's a good idea to not tailgate people in stop
I'm not
situations.
Tailgating anybody.
Not now.
I wasn't.
Oh, well, we were up
I
on
started
their rear
to
end.
Move up, and he stopped. He was rolling, and then he stopped after I started to move up behind him. I just wanted to keep the
I
flow
can't
of traffic.
Stand. No, I don't think that this is anti-flow of traffic. This is stop and go. And that's what makes it kind of scary, because then people can hit you from behind. I'm not even worried about the guy in front of us. I'm worried about us stopping fast and somebody behind us going, boop.
I'm worried about us having better brakes than the car behind us.
And yeah.
I'm reminded of the James Taylor song, Damn That Traffic Jam. Did you ever hear that?
Yeah. Did he write that, or was that a remake? I think it was a remake.
I don't know who else would have written.
It sounded very bluesy.
I've only heard him sing it.
Well, we'll have to look it up. I don't feel like looking it up right now.
Damn that traffic jam.
Honey, he didn't sing it like...
I hate to be late. It hurts my motor to go so slow.
He said...
Time I get home, my supper be cold. Damn that traffic jam.
He sang it grittier than that.
Well, sure he did.
You have an angelic voice by comparison.
He's singing it the James Taylor way. I'm just trying to remember how the lyrics go.
You sing it like an angelic choir person.
Why, thank you.
He sings it much grittier.
You know.
You want to sing it again?
You know, when you said I sang it angelic, you know, Satan was an angel too.
He's the fallen angel. Well, don't even need to talk about that.
Well, my mother brought this to mind because my mother said, somebody said, oh, Pat, you're an angel. And she says, yeah, but so is the devil.
Your mom is funny.
She is.
She's a character, that one there.
Yeah. And in a really good way. I mean.
Oh, yeah. Your mom is a gem.
Yeah.
I always say a woman of faith and grace.
Yeah, she's got a lot of both.
Definitely. Definitely, definitely. Well, all right. Here we are. We're still in this darn traffic. And all we're trying to do is go over to that Duluth Trading Company to pick up an order.
I can see it right to you there.
Oh, yeah.
On the other side of the expressway.
We're almost there.
Almost.
Oh, we're almost there. All right, darling. Well, this has been a wonderful visit.
Oh, you want to add a little something sweet to it?
Oh, I guess so.
Lift up your arm.
What did you buy me? Oh, you little sneak.
Well, in case I'm ever in the vehicle and feel a little need to chew on something soft, I'll be thinking of you the whole time.
I love these. Wiley Wallaby. Classic red, naturally flavored licorice. I love these, Denbo.
Well, you better crack
favorite.
It open and have
it's
one.
It's already open.
I know, but crack it open and have one. And I'll take one, too.
I will, honey. All right. Well, we'll get on with that. So that means I can't do this and that at the same time. So let's say goodbye and we'll talk again next Sunday.
I hope so.
Okay, Dolly. I love you.
I love you.
Kisses. You are cracking me up. I mean, I was laughing so hard I got tears in my eyes. Okay, so now what next do you want to talk about?
Well, are we taping?
Yeah, we're taping.
Oh, okay. Well,
we're not taping because it's digital, but okay, we're recording.
So the other thing I wanted to say about these new scuffs is I appreciate how much it makes you laugh. That I talk about these things. I've never heard of scuffs until moments ago. But the other thing about these is it's harder to sneak up on you with these because of the way they fit initially. I'll keep really clear on this, is they make that kind of flop, flop, flop sound as I step and pick up my heel.
Like a flip-flop.
It makes a noise like a flip-flop. So it'll be really hard to sneak up on you, which might be good because you don't like to be snuck up on.
But you sneak up on me all the time.
Well, as you sneak up on me. And
I think I'm pretty quiet. I can be very quiet.
You can be very quiet.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of a request I got once when I moved from being a technician to being a supervisor at Bell Telephone. And one of the people in my first crew said, Dennis, you've got to get louder shoes. I said, what? Louder shoes? I said, yeah, now that you're a boss, we've got to have a little heads up when you're coming in our direction so we can be sure that we're doing the right thing. And I thought about it for a while, and I said, okay, so I will go get some noisier shoes. And I got some shoes with harder heels.
That is hilarious.
Yeah, it just, because the person who asked was so sincere. But I also thought he had enough of a sense of humor that he would find some joy in making the suggestion to me
and then even more joy by his boss following his suggestion.
And hopefully when those stupid words came out of his mouth, he thought, ugh, I should just be doing the right thing all the time, no matter if Dennis is coming or not.
That was a theory of mine that I tried to teach all the people I worked with.
It is funny, though, because like I've been going and spending more time at work in the office, and it's interesting, people that frequent the area that I sit at or work at, I can definitely hear certain people, you know, if they have their car keys in their pants pocket, or you know, if they walk a certain way or whatever, and I don't have to see them.
You know they're coming.
Because I'm a little bit away, you know, I'm not like in full view myself. So when I hear people coming down the hall or whatever, I know who's coming. Yeah. Or they might have a little drag of their heel or whatever. So yeah. And then it's like a little game I play in my head that when they come around the corner, I'm right that it was so-and-so or so-and-so. I don't want to use proper names. But
yeah. It's kind of fun.
It's kind of fun.
It reminds me of the episode from the Andy Griffith Show when Opie told his father about some guy, Mr. Jingles, I think he called him, and he jingled when he walked, and he wore a silver hat, and he climbed up in trees, and Andy thought that this was a young boy's fantasy, a made-up character, until he met the guy from the power company who had a tool belt and a tool pouch with lots of tools that jingled when he walked. He wore a silver hard hat, and he climbed up on power poles. You know, you hear these things, and people take the noises and the sounds and what they see quite differently based on their experience.
Mm-hmm. Well, and of course a kid, yeah. Oh, Denbo, you just cracked me up.
Well, I have another story to share with you if you're interested. It's
oh,
one I'm
Denbo,
sure you've
that's
never
this
heard.
Is, this is what this is all about, is stories.
So, I just recently shared part of this story with a colleague. On my first day on this summer job that lasted for 28 years at Bell Telephone, this very senior guy told me about two rules for working there that would help me last the summer. And it seemed to work because I lasted more than just the summer. But the gist of his story was, don't believe everything you hear because talk is cheap. And don't believe everything you see because things are not always as they appear. And so that was day one. And 4 or 5 years later, I had gotten promoted to that management job where I mentioned the guy asked me to wear noisier shoes. And I was sharing an office with a guy who was sort of like my boss. He was more of a coach, as I was really new and he was more experienced. He had more responsibility than I did, but we sat in the same office. And one day an inspector from the state was there, and this was from the state of Michigan Bell Telephone. He had staff responsibilities to inspect quality at the various locations to make sure people were doing what they were supposed to be doing. And he saw me in the office, and the office wasn't all that fancy because it had a great big electrical power panel at the inside of the door and around the corner. So it was kind of utilitarian space, but we had a couple of desks in there, and my office was part of that space. And so his name was Ed Schultz, great guy, and I had met him when I was a technician. And he came into the office. He said he had heard that I'd been promoted and he wanted to congratulate me. And then he told me about a teacher that I had who was working for him. And Ed was what was called a second level manager. And this guy was a first level manager. And he said, you had him for an instructor at one of your courses, didn't you? I said, oh yeah, I remember Dave. I won't say his last name. I remember Dave. He was quite the problem for me as a student. And he said, well, he said, he's quite the problem anyways, but he said a story about what he had found out that Dave was doing, and he demonstrated to me as he was telling me this story, and of course I'm wearing a shirt and tie. I don't think I had a jacket on, but I was wearing a shirt and tie. And so Ed was demonstrating how he told Dave he needed to change his behavior, and he put his hands on my tie and my shirt and backed me into the power panel and was kind of holding my shirt and my tie up close to my throat. And I just enjoyed the story, and I was so delighted that Ed was telling me about this, because this Dave guy was a pill. I mean, he was a dick.
Who was grabbing who? So Ed grabbed Dave.
Ed grabbed Dave, but he was demonstrating how he did it with me. Well, the guy that was my office mate and my boss happened to be walking by at the time, and he saw me up against the power panel, and Ed had my tie and my shirt jacked up against my chin, and he thought I was in trouble, and I was, on the other hand, enjoying it. I was enjoying the story because, as I said, Dave was a dick.
So you probably had a shit-eating grin on your face.
And so my sort of boss just was terrified that I had done something that really pissed this guy off. So anyways, it was endearing to me, scary to my boss, and a lesson to not believe everything you see.
That is true.
Because the truth of it was that he wasn't mad at me. He was demonstrating how he was mad at Dave.
Well, it's kind of like when we had those snowstorms last week and we looked to the south and we saw those colors in the sky.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, it's a transformer. And I think, I don't know, was it just thunder and lightning? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it might have been.
So we don't know.
It might have been that the lightning struck a transformer and made the sky purple.
It was purple and gray, so yeah. It made me wonder now that I look back on it, because I hear more about these transformers they have a lot of copper, so that makes blue and green and not purple and gray. So I'm wondering now if it just wasn't what they're calling thunder snow.
Yeah. Well, who knows? It could have been the color came from whatever was between the lightning strike and you. You know, your eyes might have been seeing a color that was created by the atmosphere between the light and the Lois.
Well, and the truth is, we don't always know what we're seeing or what we're looking at.
No, but we each interpret the exact same things differently.
Right.
Because we choose the data that we see or hear or look at. We choose based on our own biases and our own experience.
Exactly. That's exactly right. What did you think today when you got out of the truck and that guy had stopped with his dog, Lucy?
Well, I thought it looked like it was a pit bull mix.
Yep.
And, you know, unusual dog. Guy seemed to be pretty much the norm. You know, kind of an average dude. You know, somewhere around 6 feet. Maybe a little taller
than that.
Was he?
But were you scared when you saw that dog?
No, it was a dog.
You weren't scared that it would look like a pit bull?
No.
Well, I wasn't either, but I could see that it was a female. And so I said, you know, to him, I said, can I let her sniff me? Is she a good girl or whatever? And he goes, oh, yeah. So she came up and then she smelled your lunch. And then she didn't want anything to do with me, but she was all about you and your lunch.
Oh, I know.
But it was kind of cute. But it's kind of interesting, like, when you see dogs that look like that, like, some people get nervous.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we have a lot of pit bulls around here. That's just a fact of life.
Well, and Joe and Emily's dog is at least part pit.
Yeah, pit and chow and something else, like multiple things. But, yeah, she's a cutie.
Yeah. Well, this dog today was kind of cute.
Yeah, she was cute, too. She's a pretty color.
And she had blue eyes.
Yeah, she's like,
was kind of yellowish dog with blue eyes.
She was roan colored. I always say that color is kind of a roan color.
Yeah, I don't know what
kind of like a brownish red.
Yeah.
And then she had white paws, and then she had those blue eyes.
Yeah,
so,
very.
Yeah, she was cute.
Very unusual dog. But, you know, this is another thing. because of the reputation, some communities ban dogs of that type. Anything with a pit bull is banned because they have a reputation. And
Well, it just depends on how they're, I think a lot of it is how they're treated.
well, sure.
Even a quote unquote well-bred dog can become a horrible, nasty dog if it's treated bad.
Yeah.
But this all brings me around to what you see isn't always what is the truth. You
Yeah.
can't judge a book by its cover.
And you can't judge a dog by its breed.
Right.
You know, the German
Exactly.
Shepherd was the one that I was always afraid of when I was a kid. I think it's, well,
That's our text message.
yeah. Even when
Never
we,
fails.
yeah. No matter what day or time, we always get a text message. I guess we get
Need
too
to
many
cut them
text
off.
messages.
I need to shut
But
my text messages off.
when I was a kid, German Shepherds were always terrifying. And when we rode our bikes out to my grandma's surgeon's house, which was 9 miles south of town, we had to go by one of the Cardasses had a German Shepherd. And if that dog was out, you or we were terrified that that dog was going to come chase us and bite us. And the first time I went by, that dog came out, and I had to get off my bike and put my bike between me and the dog to keep him from
I can
nabbing
just
me.
imagine
I was on
that.
the other side of the highway, you know, a state highway, and that dog was out after me.
But if you could have ridden your bike faster, it might not have caught up.
Well, that was the theory, but the next time I didn't know what a PDSA was, but I was using the science. The next time my theory was that I should ride faster than my brothers and let the dog get them.
That's
And that
funny.
worked.
That
That
And did the dog get your brothers?
Well, I don't know because I had my back to them and I was going faster than them. And whatever they did is lost
Somehow
to
I
my
can see
memory.
them all riding their bikes. They wouldn't have their rear ends on their seats. If a dog is chasing them, they're probably going to be pedaling in a standing up
Yeah, Tim
position.
and Terry rode their bikes like that a lot.
Yeah. That's so
But I didn't
funny.
care. The four of us were pedaling our bikes out there. And I don't ever remember pedaling our ba bikes back from the farm to home. It seems like we always got a
Got a
ride
ride.
home. Yeah, it was quite the experience. And then sometime after that, the next time I rode out by myself, there was no dog, so I was grateful that the gods had smiled on me and I got by the Cardis household without being attacked by
Maybe
their
somebody
dog.
reported the dog for chasing humans. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it
I think
was.
German Shepherds are beautiful, but they have that, their hips are lower than their shoulders, and so
Yes.
they do are they always look like they're in that stance to take off.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
I think they're beautiful dogs.
Well, I think by that time I had been invited to the Schieburgers, and they had a German Shepherd and maybe two German Shepherds. And I was a little bit apprehensive about it at their house, but once I was, you know, in the house, in the backyard, you know, the dog was just a dog. It was nice and
I
fun to be
love
around.
dogs, Denpo.
Oh, I know you do. You love this one a great deal.
You're not a dog. But I was looking at the Humane Society's got little puppies right now here on Valley Humane Society, and I said, don't let me drive out there.
Yes, I won't.
Don't let me drive
I
out there
won't.
because you know what will happen. I'll be like,
I won't.
oh, Denpo, look at this cute little puppy.
It's just really easy answer for Dennis is no. And you can use those puppy dog eyes if you want.
Well, we're down to one little puppy.
Yes, well, that's more than enough.
Buster is so cute. Oh, the guy outside asked me how Buster's doing by himself
Yes, he did.
without his brother, and I thought
Yes.
that was nice. See, we live in a dog community where people are concerned about each other and their dogs.
Well, I'm concerned about whoever is the owner of the dog that left that huge deposit. It was bigger than some cows leave behind.
Yeah, that was a big dog.
Yeah.
Like, that could have been one of the Great Danes that walks around here or something.
Well, I think it was Friday, I saw a very huge, the all white, but not
Oh, yeah,
the
the Great
cream.
Pyrenees.
Yeah, the Great Pyrenees. Somebody was walking a Great Pyrenees, and it was big. It might be the dog that was
Was it walking
responsible
on
for
our
that.
side of the
It
street?
was walking on our street, heading south.
But on our side?
On our side, yes.
That could be.
Well, it's not the fault of the animal, because
No, it's the
dogs are
owner.
creatures of habit. They smell where they or some other animal has gone to the bathroom, and they feel the urge to repeat.
Well, but the thing too, Denbo, is that they're on city grass doing that. They're not doing it on the lawn that's our property. And so I think some dog owners think that it's okay for them to go on the city lawn.
Well, they're also supposed to pick it up
I think so
wherever their
too.
dog does its business, and you can see evidence of this downtown. The town is going to the dogs.
Well, they've got bag stations everywhere.
Well, people should use them.
Yeah, I could get a bag station here, out here. Well, Denbo, you crack me up. You are so hilarious. I don't know
Well,
what I'm gonna do, Denbo. If anything ever happens to you, I'm gonna have all these precious stories to listen to because you just make me laugh.
I'm glad that I make you laugh, because I never want to make you cry.
No, that would not be good.
No, but I'm glad that you'll have an opportunity to laugh again when you hear this.
I listen to these podcasts all the time and they crack me up.
Well, I'm glad, and I would like to take a moment to say that it's good to hear that people are listening to our shows, and good to hear so soon after I got testy last week, and one of your listeners happened to
One
call
of
and
our
inquire.
listeners said, yeah, that you got a
Oh,
little testicle on me.
does the word testy come from
I
testes?
think so.
Oh, could be.
You got testy. You got a little testosterone going on there, a
Yeah, well,
little.
you
You know
know,
what it is that you don't like to be criticized.
I don't like to be corrected. I don't like to be managed. I can't be managed. I've tried to make that very clear. And if you would, I'd like to also express that when I'm driving, that means I'm driving, not you giving me directions on how to drive. Nothing so much lights my testy fuse as you trying to drive from the passenger seat. Please note today, Lois drove through the same space.
And it was perfectly 100% fine.
Yeah. Of course,
Well,
the
I just
traffic
want to
wasn't
say
routed
this,
off of 96.
you do sometimes ask me about my driving. Like today, you said, "Are you going to turn left here? Are you going to do whatever, da, 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 whatever." And I don't. It doesn't bother me. But what I was going to say is, you and I are like a couple, and so we're blended. Like our lives are blended with each other. So if I say something about your driving, it's just because we're so close. You know what I mean, like if you were a friend or you were the husband of a friend of mine, I wouldn't say anything unless you were driving recklessly.
Yeah,
But the
that's a
fact of the
touchy
matter
one.
is you and I are like, we're like one unit.
Are we?
What I'm saying? It's like
Are
we're
we?
like blended. Our lives are
They
blended.
are, yes.
And so when we're in the car together, I'm just like, like we're very close with each other. So I
Yes, we
just feel
are.
like I can say whatever. But then when you get a little testicle, actually, it just makes me kind of chuckle inside.
Well, I'm glad.
Because I don't get really mad over it. I just kind of laugh because you're kind of old school when it comes to stuff like that.
I
Like you
am
don't want to be,
I'm
yeah,
definitely old
you don't
school.
want to be cross-checked or anything like that.
I don't believe in cross-checking.
Yeah.
Although we did talk about an example today, the discussion just before we went in for lunch was about people who take the paycheck but then don't want to do the work.
Oh, yeah.
And I told you about what was taught to me as the speech. And when I deliver it very deliberately, very well rehearsed, and hardly any variation in how I say it. So as to illustrate that I mean business, if somebody's working for me, to do a job that I've described that they accept the money to do, I expect that they will do that job. And I've only had to give that speech a few times.
And that is kind of an old school thing.
It's definitely an old school thing. It's the gold rule. He who pays the gold makes the rules. Or in some cases, she who makes the rules pays the gold.
Yes, exactly.
But you had a very polite way of saying the same kind of thing. Hey, we pay you a lot of money. I don't understand why you have a problem with what I'm asking you to do.
I think I said to this person, you know, you're paid a lot of money.
Yeah.
To perform this work and to do these things. And I think you need to consider that before you start laying out demands of what you're going to not do.
Yeah.
Versus what you're going to do.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's...
And I have such a good relationship with all of my direct reports that I don't have to be harsh. I
yeah.
can be very, well, you know, I try to come at it from my point of view.
Yeah.
And then most of my people are kind of like, the people that work with me are kind of like, yeah, I never thought about it like that.
Yeah.
I think sometimes people forget, you know, you have a choice.
Yeah.
You have a
you
choice to
take
this money and do this job. Or you have a choice to go work someplace else and take money from somebody else to do a different type of work.
Yeah. Indentured servitude and slavery were outlawed a
exactly.
long time ago.
And that's right.
And you made a choice to come here.
And,
to take
and
this
the
job.
Work that we do is very well defined on an annual basis.
Yeah.
So it's really not rocket science, but yeah. anyhow.
Well, I only gave that speech at what was a turning point for the individual because my MO was to ask people to do things. I asked people to do what I thought they needed to do or provide a better alternative. I was quite open to their creativity, but if they weren't doing and I had asked and they weren't doing what I needed, what we needed to do, at some point it became clear to me that my patience in their ability to deliver what I was asking and patiently explaining and coaching them to do, they were choosing to not do it. So that's probably one of the reasons why I only had to give that speech a few times.
Well, that's truly insubordination. And
yeah.
And that's something that...
It's,
yeah.
it's where they are insubordinate, and I wanted them to know, this is the definition. I need you to do this. If you choose to not do it, it's insubordination, which will lead to disciplinary action up to and including dismissal. It's your choice, though.
Mm-hmm.
And that... straightened out almost everybody over a period of 28 years in those kind of roles. I only had two people who didn't get it.
Well, and that's because most people want to come to work and do the right thing.
Yeah, yeah.
They want
that's
to show
exactly
up.
Right.
They want to show up. They want to deliver results. And, you know, that's the majority of people. So you're talking about a very, of all the people that you manage, which is
less
hundreds
than a
and
half,
thousands probably.
Less than a half
very
a person.
Very tiny
yes.
percentage of people that were outliers. Yeah.
Which resonates with the teaching of Dr. Deming. And,
Dr. Deming!
And people like Peter Schultes and people who are experts in systems, and that is... The estimation is that 95% of the performance problems come from the system, not from the people.
And the system is not the IT system.
That's right.
The system is...
the combination of people and processes working together in the organization.
Yeah, I agree with that. And people can get frustrated with what goes on or what doesn't
absolutely.
Go on. And so
who
sometimes,
doesn't?
You know, that frustration can lead people to do some things that are not characteristic either, so...
Yeah.
Well, okay, so we went from fun and games to talking about work stuff. So now we got to get back to fun and games.
Okay. What would you like to talk about?
You're so funny. People can't see you grabbing my boobs. You're so, ooh, old-fashioned.
I am. I like to use both hands.
Oh, you're hilarious.
Preferably, it'd be nice if you just lean in.
All right, well, you better log off. This convo before anything
so?
Goes any further.
Okay, well.
Okay, darling. What do you say to say goodbye?
I just lost all of my IQ. What were we talking about besides your
We're
going to
say
boobs?
Goodbye. We're going to log off now.
Okay. Well, I love you, Lois.
I love you, Denbo. Kisses.